Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word in which you revealed your loving will in sending a Savior to rescue all people from their sins. We bless you for preparing our hearts to celebrate Christ's birth by your word, that we may know of your gracious favor towards us and your mighty wonders surrounding Christ's birth. Help us to rejoice in the message of salvation and to trust in your holy word for the promise of forgiveness and eternal life through faith in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text chosen for this evening is written in the first chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 67th verse, which is the Song of Zechariah. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear readers and hearers of God's word about our Messiah, our Christmas preparations anticipate joy and blessing and many emotions. We enjoy seeing the lights around the houses, singing the Christmas songs and carols and hymns. We look forward to reconnecting with friends or relatives, either through email or through letters or in person at Christmas time. At this time, we also hear appeals for donations of toys so that children can have a happy Christmas. But if Christmas is only about emotions and moving us, then Christmas will soon fade away and that joy will not last. Almost as long as a toy that's given to a child, that they play with it and it's broken the next day or they go back to their old toys. Christmas is more about emotion, about just giving us joy. It is about giving us the confidence and peace that Jesus came to give by being born in this world. Along with our Reformation anniversary celebrations, let us look then at our text for today under the theme Scripture Alone and see that our faith moves us to praise God for keeping his promises and praise God for the word that he gives us. After writing, "His name is John," what would Zacharias or what would a father say when he hadn't been able to speak for a long time? He could have spoken about his son John, or he could have greeted his wife and the people that were in the room with him. Instead, Zacharias sang a hymn of praise to the Messiah because that was uppermost in his mind, that was most important subject for him to talk about. Before he was born, Mary had lived in his house, before John was born, Mary had lived in his house for 3 months. And so Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah could communicate with each other and talk about this most important and blessed event, the birth of the Messiah. Now, it's true that his son John and Mary's baby were cousins, but to Zacharias, the Messiah was most important. Zechariah blessed God for visiting and redeeming his people. This truly is a remarkable statement. God is present everywhere, and he rules all over the heaven, and yet he has chosen to come to earth, to enter into flesh and blood as we have in order that he could be with us, not just to help us and to show us how to love, but to deal with our very great problems. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And when John mentions the Word, he's talking about the Word that created all things, the Word that is the light of the world, the Word that goes out and is true. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible says we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is saying that that child, that even unborn, was to be the Savior, willing to give his life as a sacrifice for our sins, because he loved us, because he wanted to fulfill the things that God did, as he said in our gospel. All of this was foretold in the Old Testament, as Zechariah said in his hymn, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been from since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies. From the beginning, Adam heard God's promise, I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Abraham heard God say about this blessed Messiah, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. For the next 2,000 years, God sent prophets to the children of Israel to describe what this blessed event would be. Talk about individual actions, things that he would do and say, things that he would that would happen to him. Both Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 tell about how this Messiah would give his life and die for the sins of the people. And the Messiah then was Abraham's promised seed, and Abraham sacrificed Isaac, Jacob's Shiloh, Moses' great prophet, Isaiah's Emmanuel, Ezekiel's shepherd, Daniel's holy one, Jeremiah's branch of righteousness, and Malachi's angel. Note how Zechariah understood that God inspired the prophets and spoke through them. And since our text states that Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, the words he spoke are testimony of the Holy Spirit himself, that the prophets have spoken through God, and that their prophecies are true. And the Holy Spirit inspired St. Luke to write down the words of Zechariah as he spoke them, so that we can know what Old Testament prophets were about, how they prophesied about the Messiah, and to know that they spoke the truth. And that truth was being fulfilled before Zechariah's eyes. During the time that he couldn't speak, Zechariah must have studied and thought about the Old Testament prophets that he had been reading all his life, and seeing how they would impact and how they would come be fulfilled through the birth of his son and the birth of the Messiah. Only through Scripture and God's revelation could he know and believe the truths about the Messiah and what was happening at that very time. Because of his study, Zechariah declared that God had acted to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. The mercy of God is the promised salvation and forgiveness of sins which the Messiah would win for all people. The word covenant refers to God's testament, his last will and testament. It's not a contract, but a will. And so with an oath that God swore to Abraham, he would accomplish this to bless all people in the world through Abraham's descendant. God therefore bound himself to Abraham to accomplish this very thing. God's oath was the highest seal of assurance that his covenant, his testament, would be kept. Zechariah then understood that the long wait was over, that God's word is true, that the Messiah would accomplish the comfort and peace that God promised through the prophets, and that the Messiah would destroy sin, death, and the devil, our enemies. Those are the enemies we need to be destroyed. That's what Jesus came to do. Zacharias then turned to the work that his son John would do in preparing the way before the Lord. As he praised God for the work of John, so we praise the Word so that we can know and prepare our hearts to celebrate Christmas. Now, many new fathers will have something to say about their child that's born. Oh, he or she could be president, or the CEO of a big company, or write great music, or all sorts of different things could happen. Possibilities are endless. Zacharias, you see, in the temple already knew what his son would be. For the angel said to him, "He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Could a father want something even more than what the angel told that his son would be? And this is why Zacharias said in his hymn that he would be the prophet of the highest who would go before the face of the people to prepare his ways. What a blessed vocation to be able to preach to the people and point out the Messiah and say that God has kept his promises to call people to repentance and to baptize them for the remission of sins. All this to help prepare the way of salvation. And that was John's task. Notice the emphasis is not on John. It's on the Messiah. But his task of preparing the people would mean speaking the law, to lead them to repentance, to see their need for a Savior, the one that God has sent. Zacharias speaks also the work of the gospel when he says, to give knowledge of salvation to this people by the remission of sins. And then one day, Zacharias' son John would stand by the Jordan River, surrounded by people, and he would point his finger out to a man, and he would say, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." That's the gospel. That is the message. The kingdom of God, heaven is here. John was telling the people about God's salvation. Jesus is God's Passover Lamb who was to die in the place of sinners. Jesus removed the sin of the world when God laid on him the iniquity of all people, when God put him on a cross to suffer and die, when God forsook him on the cross, when he was buried with our sins in the tomb, and then God raised him from the dead in order to declare to everyone the forgiveness of sins. By his death, God's Son earned the remission of sins. That is the joy that we celebrate at Christmas. That's what we're preparing our hearts to do, to repent of our sins as John calls on us to do, so that we can know that Jesus was born for us and that we need him. This salvation, Zacharias says, is due to the tender mercy of God. It's not due to us. It's due to God loving sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, the Bible says. And because of that, we can rejoice in God our Savior because God has given us the gift that we need. Now, Zacharias also said that John would give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet in the way of peace. John's message was pointing to Jesus as the light of the world, the one that would enlighten our hearts to see both our sins and our Savior. Only God's Word can do this. Only God's Word has the power to bring us to faith and to keep us in the faith. Only God's Word says, as Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so when we believe Jesus as our Savior, the one who speaks to us his Word, the Word who became flesh, dwelt among us to be our Savior. The three Bible songs of Christmas that we have talked about show us the faith of Mary, of Simeon, and Zacharias. The Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write them to prepare our hearts so that we can recognize Jesus as our Savior. Thus, Scripture alone reveals to us the wonderful story of God's love. Grace alone causes us to believe on Jesus as our Savior. And faith alone brings us the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. May we always thank God for his loving word, for his loving grace, and for the faith to believe in Jesus, so that one day we are prepared to see him in heaven. God grant this to us all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.